Welcome to the Salon Professional Podcast, brought to you by Evolve Salon Systems. If you are in the professional salon industry, this podcast was created for you. We are going to talk about everything from trending topics, motivation, business savvy, and bring you incredible guests along the way. If you love what you're hearing, please hit that subscribe button and definitely leave us a review. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome, everybody, to the Salon Professional Podcast. I am here with the legend. Oh, no, that's your son. Craig Michaud.
That is my son.
Coming off of the Little League World Series. We're going to start with his son hit a home run in the Little League World Series.
Yep, so, he hit a dinger.
Little Hooksett, New Hampshire. That was really exciting, and you guys can see that home run on our Instagram and Facebook on our Reels because it was incredible.
Thank you.
I don't know if it was the home run or you and your wife's response to it that had me more excited.
Clearly, it's the response. Everyone's made fun of me. I've got so many texts.
You're usually pretty level, and to see that level of excitement, that was pretty cool. So we're starting with joy and happy news, and we're going to talk about the state of the beauty industry right now. Today is September 9th.
It is my son's birthday.
It is happy. The baseball baby.
Yep, the baseball baby. Oh, it's his birthday today.
Happy birthday! What a year he has had. Yep. Season. So let's talk about the state of the industry right now, September 9th, 2021.
Sure.
Where are we? What can we look forward to? And what do people need to be doing?
I think that a lot of the industry is doing really well right now. The consumer was pushing strong through the summer, and we're seeing a lot of strength in salons right now. I am cautious, so to speak, because of the two reports that have been coming out in the past couple weeks are really kind of interesting to me. One is in reference to the restaurant industry. See, in a lot of times I actually get out of the industry to see what's going on in
other service industries.
I like, I spend a lot of time focusing on hospitality.
Okay.
Like restaurants and retail, and kind of see where things are going.
Okay.
Because there's usually indicators that happen. Our industry usually trails those industries. The salon industry historically trails it. So there's a couple things that are going on right now. One is the fact that the number of chairs or seats being sold in restaurants has dropped dramatically. So the trend and what hasn't...
On the consumer side or what the restaurant can actually hold?
Both. And that's what is really interesting to see. Okay, if we can get more servers, will those seats go up? Or are those seats coming down due to Delta variant, due to the fact that there's not government checks being sent out every week, the unemployment safety net and everything. So August was a really interesting month because there's so many different things that are happening all at once. You can't point to one thing and say, oh, it's the Delta variant or it's unemployment or it's all of that. The fact that there is as many job openings.
That's all you hear about.
It's all you hear about. And there's really essentially no one really filling the jobs. That's also...
Can I ask? I'm confused. How? Why? Because if unemployment benefits are not happening, how are we not filling these jobs?
Well, what's happened is because the government gave as much safety net as they did, and in a lot of respects... As a business owner, I didn't like it because it's not good for the
economy. You can't hire people.
We can't hire. I mean, we probably have 30 job openings in our company.
And right you've now. Raised the wage.
We've raised the wage. We've done all of that. But it was good because people needed to make sure that their health and their family was taken care of. So it's kind of this really weird...
And it helped the economy in a way because people had money to spend. Like, we didn't crumble.
The interesting thing now is that it's what had happened is the government had been giving us crutches. They've been giving the economy and the consumer crutches for the past year and a half. And now they're going to take those crutches away and we're going to have to start standing on our own, so to speak.
But wages are higher.
Wages are higher. And
which they needed to be, right?
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Right.
And the reason why I say it that way is because it's a forced inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the reason why I think, listen, I'm not an economist and I am by no means as bright as Jay Powell, but as a business owner, what the federal government is doing with keeping interest rates as low as they are right now is they're causing inflation to occur more and more, and it's becoming more and more rampant.
So our money is not worth as much.
Correct. So when you say the wages needed to go up, it's like, okay, so the wage went from
15 to 17, but 17 is now 15.
Exactly. Now your buying power.
It's kind of like us. The 40s is the new 30 and all that. It's kind of like age like a fine wine.
The problem is I'm not going to be able to say 40s too much longer. But do you understand what I mean?
Absolutely. Like
so everyone's excited because now their wage is 15 or 17.
But
or
all the products are going up.
Are going to end up going up, which is what brings me back to the salon industry, which is you really need to be looking at price increases in November.
I got salads from our little local pizza place last night. Mm-hmm. And there's a sign up. We are having a sweeping price increase everywhere I go. And I'm like, they have to. Like, I was like, oh, that's fine. But they were very, like, blatant. And then they went into why. And I'm like, you didn't even have to tell me why. I already know. But
yeah, I'm still not a huge fan of over-explaining.
Right. There was a lot of over-explaining. I didn't even read it. I was like, okay, sure. Whatever. It's fine.
And specifically for salons, because the relationship is as intimate. And it is. It's a really close relationship that people have with their clients. I'm not a huge fan of over explaining why price increases happen. It's just not something I've ever recommended.
And there might be like two people that ask you. They're just the pains in your life. So then you have to have a like kind of a thing, but that's okay. Like you don't have to have that whole like blanket diatribe of shipping has gone up.
Yeah, because when it's all said and done, there's prices, and I was trying to explain this to a salon owner. Prices are a strategic marketing decision.
Okay.
And that's where I think a lot of people start to misunderstand what pricing in salons and what pricing in business in general is. Because they think like, okay, the cost of this.
Yeah.
Everyone should make the same margin of profit, so the cost should be Y.
Right.
But there is not. It's the intrinsic value
of that service.
Of that service and how you want to be positioned in the marketplace.
Because we have a treatment that we sell, like a mask.
Sure.
Some salons charge $5 add-on, some charge $25 add-on. It's the same mask.
And some give it.
And some do it for free.
Right, we don't recommend.
Don't do it.
We don't recommend that. But that's what I mean.
Right.
So everyone, I think people don't necessarily realize how important pricing is to an overall market positioning of any business. Restaurants, salons, retail. I mean, it's fascinating that you can see Target having clothing that looks very similar to I don't know,
like
Tommy Hilfiger.
Like
real similar. And now there's all that intrinsic value that's different that people pay a premium for. And a lot of it is the name. And a lot of it is how much friction occurs. I talk about friction all the time.
We pay less for clothes now. I mean, do you remember we're the same age? Like growing up, and I remember going and buying clothes at a Benetton. I mean, one shirt was $50. And I'm talking 30 years ago. Like, you know, like now you can go get like a shirt for $10. Like it's interesting.
You can, but yet Benetton has now become whatever.
I mean,
Lululemon, you get the stink-free yoga pants for like $200 or whatever.
Or you go to Target and get your $20 yoga pants.
Yeah, exactly. And what has happened is I think people have forgotten about pricing as a marketing strategy in salons.
They're worried about they're not going to be able to afford it or they're not going to come to me anymore. So there's all this other chatter going on in your brain.
Exactly. It's all about the loss of things. And what I'm trying to encourage people to do is really identify your marketing, because this is
what do you want to be known for?
Exactly. And that price should mimic what you're trying
you're
to
either
do.
The cheapest in town, and it's okay if you want to be, if that's your pricing model.
Supercuts has created an amazing business model.
Absolutely.
Like, I tap my hat to them. Not that I think every salon should do that, but
right.
they found their own little niche, and they've created a really right. great business model for
if
it.
If you're like the middle of the road, provide yeah. a nice family, so you're going to have those price increases that sure. match that. If you're luxury.
Absolutely. I mean, we look at, you look at just in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. we have a restaurant company that is probably one of the best marketing companies I've ever seen.
Which one is it?
So they own three different restaurants.
Okay.
So they own Cactus Jack's, they own yep. T-Bones, and they own the Copper Door.
Oh, okay.
All three of those have different marketing strategies, and they all have different price points.
Yep.
But they're all owned by the same company because they're trying to fill
right. needs. And it's okay wherever you land.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with where you
land.
I
don't think every salon should be an ultra high-end salon.
No.
Just as I don't think every salon should be a $6 haircut salon either. Like it.
But even if you are Supercuts, they don't have the same price they had 2 years ago.
And you just hit it. That's what everyone has to understand, is that everything is going forward. Because if you were, how about this? People have assistants and they have to pay assistants.
Yes.
Okay. So 5 years ago, you might have paid an assistant $10, $12 an hour.
You're not doing that anymore.
You're not doing that anymore. Because guess what? Dairy Queen is now
$17 an hour.
$17 an hour.
Dunkin' Donuts is $17.50.
I just saw something from Walmart mm-hmm. that was $20 an hour.
With a hiring bonus.
Yeah. So so that's why I get right. concerned about inflation, and I think that's where I disagree with Jay Powell,
okay.
the Fed chair, because he keeps on talking about transitory inflation. Wages are never transitory, and that's my big concern.
You can't go back. All of a sudden, you're making $17.50 at Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm like, well, now you're going to make $15.
Yeah, it's like, okay, now I'm going to go find another job. You're going to essentially right. lose that employee. And I think that's where salon owners and business owners really have to look at from a pricing standpoint.
Just own it and use it. It's a marketing tactic.
It's marketing. Like, I've had people ask.
They fight with you about it.
Well, they ask, like, give you an example. They'll ask about gallons, liters in retail, why the prices are the way they are in Cove, mm-hmm. Tribe, and RPM.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, it's like, because I've taken a different marketing approach in trying to position the brands mm-hmm. differently. And sometimes we decided to work on less on certain items and make it up on other items.
A little bit of a loss leader to
exactly,
maximize to somewhere else.
Exactly. And other manufacturers do it differently.
Right.
Other, like Kevin Murphy's super aggressive in their gallon prices.
Right.
Which is virtually unheard of in any other part of the industry.
But that's one of their marketing benefits.
Exactly. That's the marketing strategy.
You're going to sell a premium price point, but I'm going to hook you up on your back bar.
Exactly. And with RPM and Cove, we wanted to make sure we were at a certain retail price point. So all of a sudden, we can't be as aggressive.
You'll move more units.
But the liters,
it's going to cost you a little bit more to use it.
Exactly. So it was just, that's why everyone needs to just understand that pricing in any service or good is a marketing decision. It's a strategic decision on how you want to position your brand and how you want to position your salon.
Do not enough salons decide where they fall? Is that the problem that everybody's
totally.
Running in a, like, they haven't defined their brand?
Well, what ends up happening is salons sit there, and I can imagine 90% of salon owners, when they open their salon, do exactly what I'm going to tell you they do.
Okay.
What they do is they call around to 5 to 10 salons in their area, get the pricing,
mm-hmm.
and then they pick the middle.
Okay. So now they've established themselves without really realizing their brand.
Correct.
They're in the middle.
They haven't truly established themselves. And that's why when I talk to, in some salons, have now since, because they've been with us as long as they have,
they've defined their brand.
But historically, when salon owners are opening their salon, unless they are emphatic about being an absolute high-end salon,
mm-hmm.
which the prices need to equal that.
Right.
If they're not in that absolute high-end position from the very beginning, they always do what I just said. They always call around, kind of get the lay of the land. I want to make sure I'm not too high, I'm not too low. And sometimes my feeling is, if you're not too high and you're not too low, then you're no different.
Right.
And I think pricing has such a unique way of differentiating yourself.
Absolutely.
In a really good way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you're going to charge a major premium, then guess what? You're also going to need to have premium coffee that you serve. You're also going to need
wine. You're going to spend longer time with your guests.
Exactly. All of that. But those are all marketing positions.
So they're not establishing themselves in that way a lot. Right. I mean, that's unfair.
I'm generalizing. Right. There are people, because you know there's people that are listening to this screaming at
no, podcast. Some people do it so well, and yep. they've established their brand. So really what the message is, it's so funny, I just did this branding class and I started writing and I'm going to do something for us. And it's defining your brand in a really simple way, because I think these things get so
sure.
scary that people are like, oh my God, I don't even know what that means. So just in a really simple way. And that's amazing when you're starting your business. But even if you're well into your business, it's time to look at where do 80% of my clients come from? It's not to say you can't have a lower price point, retail line in your salon.
No, and it's also not to say that your new stylist can't be entry level prices.
I have a junior pricing.
And have a junior pricing and then kind of move up through the tiers, which we have our leveling system that we teach.
But they're training to be that luxury stylist.
Sure.
And
so one of the things that I always, whenever salon owners ask me, I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you decide which, if you were going to define your business as a car.
Mm-hmm. Which car are you?
Which car are you? And that seems to be the easiest way for salon
That's
owners
a great analogy.
To kind of like go, okay, like I'm a Porsche.
Right,
or,
right.
Or I'm
Kia.
I'm a Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, so try and figure out, okay, like what, if you were going to position yourself from,
right,
what car are you? What car is your business? And I think it's one of those easy ways to kind of look at it, because I get really concerned about how people are looking at their pricing. And right now,
if they haven't already had a price increase that we recommended months ago, like you're behind the eight ball.
Yeah, if you haven't had a price increase this year, I'm telling you, November, you need to be looking at it, because we've just started to trickle in some of the things that we're seeing the manufacturers are going to.
You will have a price increase from us in every manufacturer you work with.
Every manufacturer,
whatever distributor you work with, you will have a price increase.
Is going to happen. They mainly because of shipping costs, logistics,
shipping,
just raw goods,
sourcing.
It's just sourcing. I will tell you, the blizzard that happened in Texas, I don't know if it was considered a blizzard or not, but
where they had no power.
They had no power for like three. The packaging, the plastic industry is still
Craig,
having problems.
I have no plaster on a pool that has been built since the beginning of the summer. It is sitting in my backyard. There's no water in it. There's no water in it.
But that's because of what happened.
There's no plaster.
In Texas. In January.
Right. Like, we've paid for it, and they just look at us and like, we're so sorry. And
yeah.
I don't get mad, because there's nothing. If they had plaster, I know they'd put it in there.
So when you start looking at it, just there are going to be costs that are going to be forced in.
So no matter who you do business with, know that costs are rising, so you will pay more to do business. If
Absolutely.
Your prices don't increase, then you will make less money.
How about this? Just think about it from the person, just any of your support staff that you employ.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not given a wage increase this year to that support staff, chances are you're going to be forced to, or they're going to end up leaving, because there's too many jobs out there
right.
that are paying, have had significant price increases
right.
in reference to the wage, just to get people. I mean, restaurants, I went to a restaurant, an open fire pizza place.
Yeah.
Like a nice little
like fire. A brick oven.
Yeah. I was talking to the owner, and the owner says, "We on a Saturday night, we normally need to have 20 support team, including wait staff, bus, all of that."
Right.
And I said, "So?" I go, "Oh, really?" I go, "Okay." I go, "How many do you have tonight?" He goes, "4."
Oh, Jesus.
And I sit there and my heart drops for this guy because he could literally be doing 5 times more business on a Saturday.
I know.
Than he actually is, and it's all because of support team.
We went to a local restaurant that we love. We were the first ones there for lunch, and they said it's going to be a 45-minute wait. I'm like, I don't understand. She's like, we have no help. We're just being super honest. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm worried they're going to close. Sure. Not because they don't have excellent service and great food. There's no staff.
There's no staff to help the sales happen. Yeah. And I think that's what the economy is going through right now, which I think is why I get so tentative on giving too much advice on what to do.
Yeah, it's just like right now. Like everything we're doing is right now, which
because this could all change. This could literally flip a switch.
So people need to raise their wages.
Yes.
That they're offering their staff.
If they haven't, you're going to be forced to, or you're going to lose them.
What kind of price increase should people do? Let's say they've already increased this year. What should they do in this latter part of the year?
What has happened from a price increase when you start looking at it? If you're in that 5 to 10% range, there's mm-hmm. not a lot of, you're not making a lot of waves.
Okay. So not a set dollar amount, because I see people mm-hmm. doing $5 on haircuts and $10 on color.
And they do that because the math is easy for them.
Okay.
And I was with one salon owner, and strategically from a positioning standpoint, she only likes round numbers.
Okay. Like an OCD.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I want you to understand that is a 22% increase.
Oh. That's going to be a shock.
It's going to be a really big shock. I happen to like a little odder numbers.
Okay.
I like $82. I like
give me a little anxiety, but okay.
But you know what I mean? Like, I like odder numbers. Because
would you relay it as a percentage? We are having a 10% price increase.
I wouldn't relay it.
You're not relaying it. Okay. Doing it.
If you talk about it, I will tell you the reason why I like odd numbers and service dollars is because it allows you flexibility to raise prices just a little bit. So if you're at $82 for a haircut.
Okay.
That's probably reasonable at this point in the economy. Okay. Let's say $62.
Okay.
So if you're at $62, going from $62 to $65 is not a big deal. Going from
60 to 65 sounds like a bigger deal.
Exactly. Do you see what I mean?
All right, I just had a little...
And if you go from 62 to 67, it's not a big deal. But going from 60 to 65 is. Do you see?
Yep.
So when you have... That's why I was talking about pricing is such an interesting marketing strategy because... Yes. You can play games with the pricing that the consumer doesn't.
So funny! I just noticed my leg wax went up $5, and I was like, "Oh, that!" I knew in my head that went up $5 because I knew like I paid a certain amount, and then I was like, "Oh, it went up $5." They didn't tell. I didn't care. It wasn't a big deal, but I would not have noticed $3. It was something about that round number.
Absolutely.
Because if I'm used to spending $45 and it went to $50,
that's bigger.
But 45 to 48, I would never, or 42 to 48, I would never have noticed.
Sure.
Because it's still
left.
You guys, trust me on this one. I'm going in my head now. That's so true. I right away, as soon as I was at checkout, I was like, oh, the price went up.
So that's where it ends up being interesting for me.
It's not being sneaky.
No, not at all. What it does is it allows
you. It's psychological.
A lot of it is. And that's where... That's why pricing, I think most salon owners don't spend enough time strategically thinking about the pricing of their business.
Can they work with our team leaders on this concept?
Oh, sure.
So you guys have this like amazing group of team leaders.
Christina Zaka, Kristen.
The numbers Tyler, queen.
The numbers queen. I mean, Tyler's great at it.
All
Phil's great at it. Like, we have such
whoever you left out, we apologize.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Ashley's great.
It's Craig.
Richard's
great.
It's, but... Christine just jumped in my head because she's so darn good with numbers.
She's so good.
But our whole team is trained on it, and everyone can.
So you can work with them on this concept. Yeah. So even if they are at whole numbers right now, meaning that's not the right word, but if they're at $50 a haircut, like, we can talk about going to 52 and then having these incrementals along the way.
Right, because then it allows you to do these incrementals, and it's not such a big thing.
I would not have noticed.
Because when you go from $50 to $60,
holy sugar,
it's a huge jump. But if you, over the course of 18 months, go from 50 to 53 to 56...
To 58, you wouldn't even...
To 58, and then to 60, all of a sudden, it's not this earth-shattering thing. And
it's the round numbers that you notice, because you budgeted in your head $40. If it's 45, you're like, I didn't budget that. But if it's 43, you're like, it doesn't even affect my brain. It doesn't affect it.
And that's why I tend to... For salon services, I like to have...
All right, I'm sold, because I got really anxious when you said 82 and 62. I'm like, that's so dumb in my head.
But that's what most people think.
Now it just, you hit it. That's exactly...
It allows you to increase prices and not have it be such this major shock. And then what it will also do is it will allow you to consistently raise prices every year. Because what ends up happening is people sit there and go... Oh, I haven't had a price increase in like
5 years.
Yeah, it's like, so now all of a sudden they have to make up 5 years worth of inflation.
You're like, girl, you've made money, lost money every single year.
Every single year.
Because we've raised ours, your manufacturers, wherever you work with us, raise their price.
Absolutely. And we have one manufacturer, because it comes over from Europe, that has a standard 3% price increase every year.
But we plan for it. We know it's happening.
We plan for it. And what we do is sometimes we absorb it. And we can only absorb it for so long.
And then sometimes we
have to pass it on. But our manufacturers have price increases every year. Sometimes we can absorb them and sometimes we can't. I will tell you, with the price increases that are happening...
We cannot absorb them.
For 2000.
Well, we're paying higher wages.
Paying higher everything.
Everything has cost more, so we have... Like, there's no shielding. Are we working on programs to help? Yes.
Of course. All the time.
With shipping and things. I know we're working on programs because... But it's hard.
But it is.
There's only a certain amount of dollars. You always say that.
There is. You have to separate.
We're playing with a certain amount of dollars every time.
Exactly. And your job as a salon owner is to make sure that your business is going to be here.
Yes.
That it's going to be profitable. And profit is not a bad thing. Because that's where stability comes in people's lives. It comes stability in your own life.
People can feed their families and do fun things.
Exactly. The stability comes into your employees' lives. Like, the whole thing, it's a big deal to...
So we're not putting out any statements during a price increase?
It's nothing I recommend.
Okay. Devil's advocate.
I know people do.
Okay. But what if a client then says, you raised your prices and you did not tell me? He's giving me a blank look, like, I don't give an SHIT.
The way that I look at it is, if you feel that the relationship that you have with your clients, you need to have that transparency, then that's a relationship, and that's a cultural thing in your business.
Okay.
I guess I look at it this way. The bigger deal you make about your price increase, the bigger deal your clients will make.
Because I don't go to the grocery store and there's not a sign that says apples went up 10 cents a pound this week.
Of course.
There's sales, and you might look for sales. And so is it like the mindset to focus more on sharing your promotions and exciting things happening at the salon in that regard and stop focusing on this need to share the price increase? Because nowhere else in my life do I care about that.
I think it's interesting that people feel, that clients feel compelled to ask, which I would...
Probably most people aren't saying it. I'm just here, being on the road like you were for many years, I'm just going through all the things that a salon owner or stylist is going to say to me. There is a general fear of raising prices. It just is what it is. We know that. But now that I'm looking at other areas of my life, nobody says to me, I'm raising this price. I mean, now sometimes I have to buy grocery bags. It is what it is.
Absolutely.
Nobody apologizes to me. They're like, okay, if you want that bag, it's 20 cents. I'm like, okay.
Yep. Or bring your own reusable bag.
Bring Go get them from my trunk.
We sell reusables for $10, or you can buy the disposable for 20 cents.
So nowhere else that we're going is anyone sharing this price increase, but we feel compelled in this industry to do that.
Yeah, it's...
We got to cut the stuff, man.
I mean, when, like, you think about it, when you go to... I visit Chipotle every week.
Is that your favorite place?
It's my family's absolute favorite.
Because for Craig to go somewhere and spend money outside of his home every week, there's got to be something special going on here.
Chipotle is where we frequent very, very often.
Not that I'm saying you're frugal. I wasn't saying that.
Jerry would.
Yes.
They don't tell me that... Their rice bowl went up. If the rice bowl went from $10 to $20, I'd be like,
we're leaving.
What the hell just happened?
But right.
It doesn't. It goes from $10.58 to
$11.90
to $13.40. And because it's odd numbers, the consumer doesn't fixate on it. And I think that's what I'm trying to. I don't think that salon services should have change involved. So don't get me wrong. I don't think the price should be $38.50 or $38.75 for a service.
Don't do that.
But I do think there's a lot of wiggle room when you're not using those whole numbers that allows you the ability to kind of just gradually make adjustments. I mean, give you an example. Natural gas. Mm-hmm. And I bring all these other things up.
Okay.
It might bore people, but it
it's really important to run your business and as a stylist to be armed with this information.
Sure. So natural gas, we've always had a surplus storage of natural gas. So natural gas from a gallon usually range between $1.50 and $1.85. We now have a shortage of natural gas, and a gallon of natural gas is now at $3.13. That happened within 1 year.
Okay.
And the reason why I say it is, depending on how a salon's utilities are set up.
Oh, okay.
You don't know what your utility bill is going to be in January when you need to heat your salon if you use natural gas. And I think that's why I want you to have some flexibility to be able to, if you're at $62 for a haircut and all of a sudden you're sitting there going,
I can't afford to heat this salon. Put on your parka.
All of a sudden, it gives you the flexibility really quickly to just be able to go from 62
to 64.
Just to take offset. A little bit of pressure off of it. And
go through your pricing, analyze this, and do this.
Yeah, understand it. And I know a lot of people, what's happened right now is salons are so busy that... There is almost there's a gluttony that's going on, and I can sense it by the salon owners I'm talking about, that they're just like, oh, we're so busy, it doesn't, like, almost like this
busy hubris.
This is exactly this is almost never gonna end.
Right.
And like I was with a salon owner yesterday, and we were talking about how busy she's gonna hit her goals, all this stuff, and I'm excited. I go, I want you to understand this is going to end.
Right.
Or not end like as a finale, but it's going to
trickle.
It's going to slow down. And what I started to do is I started to explain to her why her business is growing and why she's as busy as she is. And she wasn't even aware of it. I go, you realize that in the state of New Hampshire, last year we had a huge influx of
People moving in
from New York, from New Jersey, from every. So all of a sudden, there's a huge influx. Mm-hmm. There were also, regrettably so, because of COVID, there were some salons that had to close.
Right.
So there's not as much salon. There's not as many salons as there was, and there's more people now. So yeah, guess what? Your business is cranking. That leads to the opportunity for new salons to open up.
Right. So now... I can't get in with this stuff when, you know...
I want to get in. So now all of a sudden there's going to be a market opportunity for new salons to open up. And that's when the business is going to level back down.
Right.
The hope is the business levels down at a higher plateau than it was in 2019.
Right.
That's where growth comes from. But to think that you're going to be balls to the wall for the next 20 years isn't going to happen. I was talking to a different salon owner, and I was going through it because they were asking me, what are you looking at? And one of the things that I'm spending a lot of time looking at is the travel industry.
I just heard this morning that airline tickets are at an all-time low.
Right. So the indicator for me is going to be when cruises really start back up. Okay? Whether you like cruising or not. Right now, salons are basically the only place people can really go and spend money on themselves and pamper themselves.
Yes.
When travel comes back, and I'm going to tell you, the cruise industry is going to come back.
People are addicted to this
service. Don't know exactly how they're going to figure it out. But
they're testing it.
But it's a multi-billion dollar industry. This isn't just going away. It's going to come back in some form. When that does, your client is going to have to make a decision. Do I want those hair extensions?
Right.
Or do I want to go on this cruise with my family and my husband and everything? And what the hope is, they're going to say they still want the hair extension and they're going to cut out something else. They'll cut out restaurants or they'll cut out buying clothes for themselves or anything like that. But there is going to be decisions that your clients are going to have to make in the upcoming future of where they used to spend money before. And there's a chance there's going to be a negative ramification to the salons for it. I still think
they're building travel now because they just lowered their prices, but they said for holiday travel, it's going to go skyrocket back up. Right now, there's this lull.
Sure.
So it's like, buy your tickets now.
Exactly. And what you're going to see is as the airline industry is going to figure it out, they're going to get the consumer to come back. I mean, they now are touting all the new ventilation systems and blah, 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 all the different ways that the airports are making things healthy. All of a way of saying that I really hope the business for salons doesn't slow down. Understanding consumer behavior and understanding the economy and the ebb and flow of the economy, you need to prepare. So if you have major positive cash flow right now,
save it.
Use it to either build your brand awareness.
Yes.
Or use that cash flow to be in a fixed asset that's going to handle inflation. Be it real estate, it can be art, it can be if you're into cryptocurrency, fine. If you're into gold,
have your 6 months of savings.
Exactly. So what happens now is I'm still a firm believer that now is not the time to increase people's standard of living. So
don't buy the Mercedes.
Don't. Like, you want to make sure that you have some inflation hedges. So some form of a fixed asset. I'm a huge fan of real estate, if you can find it.
I know.
But it's an unbelievable opportunity right now, and it's going to continue to grow. Everyone's like, oh, the prices are too high. I'm like, until those interest rates go up, you're never going to see the price of real estate.
I'm seeing investment properties, though, at normal prices.
They're
like two families or like duplexes are not, and those aren't inflated like just traditional homes.
Traditional homes were because of the mass exodus out of the major cities.
Yeah.
But you're correct. The two or three families are more New England things.
Yes.
Like, you don't find those as much in Florida or Georgia. Like, you don't find those opportunities.
So, and if you have this surplus, we've got your 6 months set aside, and then you can start investing in things.
Yeah, you want to put your
money. Not a Mercedes.
You want to have your money in something that's going to hedge against inflation.
Okay.
Because the Federal Reserve are brilliant people. So I tip my hat to them, and I'm very confident in them.
My sister-in-law works for them.
But if they overshoot and they don't taper the rates correctly, and there's not a soft landing, it's a crash.
So now, be prepared. Are we prepared?
Evolved?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're way prepared. Yes.
Yes. We're probably more conservatively prepared than we need to be.
Okay.
But I'm okay with that. I'm rather, because remember,
you can sleep at night.
Yeah. Jerry and I are responsible for
a hundred some odd families. Right.
So we need to be very conservative And we are. We're
very. This is such a good like lesson, and like, it went in a different direction, but it's such a good lesson in the pricing, because I feel like I even learned that, and that's going to be something I'm sharing with salons, because that just psychologically and just for the health of your business. So it's like you've got to go in and look at that pricing model.
Absolutely. You got to look at it. And I know.
But still have the juniors, right? At a different, sure. No matter what kind of salon you are branded as, you have that still that junior level.
Yep. And what ends up happening is the price leveling system naturally takes care of that.
Right.
The challenge that's happened is I've seen a lot of salons take that price leveling system, and what they do is they basically go $5 per level.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to, it's easy to do that. And I know why they're doing it, because it's super easy and it's super
and
simple.
And it just sounds better, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't give you a lot of flexibility. Right. It's a hard number, and it doesn't give you as much flexibility as if I was running a business, I'd want to have more flexibility in my pricing.
I just saw someone that posted online that they were raising all their color prices across the board $10. In my initial, just as a consumer, it's not my salon, but as a consumer, I was like, wow, that's a lot. But I think if it was an $8, I wouldn't have had that same thought.
Of course.
So now you have the ability to do that more times a year to get to where you need to be.
Yep. And it's like when I used to work directly with salons that were going through pricing changes, I always said, no. We're not doing this all right now.
Right.
We're looking at this as an 18-month
journey
to get you to where you need to be.
Right.
And one of the things that when the salon owners go through this exercise with the team leaders or on your own, don't think everything has to be done right now.
Right. You have to start.
And I believe that starting on the odd numbers, so to speak,
right,
or the different looking numbers is the easiest way to do it, because then you can just gradually ramp up.
And I feel like food manufacturers in particular, they know that all their costs going up, so they're probably incrementally raising their prices, right?
Yes.
And then you hear on the news this morning, meat. So they get everyone all scared. Meat is going up so much, and then there's like panic. It's like if you just did it and didn't have this huge craziness.
The news wouldn't have anything to talk about.
I know. Well, politics is fun.
We're due for a hair color causes cancer type of news report. It comes around every three, 5 years. Like they just recycle something.
Right, recycle the same stuff.
They recycle the same
stuff. So pricing, and I think it was really cool to go like so in depth about it and to really give sound advice on how to do it, like, and take it incrementally and stop all this madness. Think of Craig at Chipotle. If he's not freaked out about the $2, right? Nobody's worried, okay?
No one's worried.
What else, just like before we wrap up,
See
the industry right now? So we're looking at other industries. We see what's going on. Yeah. It's feast right now. It's
everything's very, very good in every industry.
Right.
And what I'm now concerned about is really... retail is off the chart. I'll give you one little interesting thing that I found super fascinating.
What is it?
Because everyone was surprised at how much clothing has been being sold during back to school. Like back to school for clothing was off the chart. And what they realized is that 35% of the American population had their waistline grow by a minimum of one size
from being
during COVID. So as many Peloton bikes that were being sold and like all the kayaks and outdoor stuff, it didn't
change. Chips on that kayak.
You actually have to use it.
You can't just use it as like a seat.
So I thought it was interesting.
So retail right now, salon retail
is you're gonna one of the things that I'm strongly encouraging people is to allow digital to be part of what you do.
E-commerce, have your e-commerce.
Yeah. Because we're just seeing, especially because we do all the drop shipping fulfillment for the salons. When they go through their online boutiques. And we're just continually seeing a ramp up in that. You have to allow your clients to know that it's available, because we get the weirdest times of orders, because we have
What times are we getting? Okay, so let me just preface it.
We have timestamps that are like.
Yeah, like what times are we getting orders? Like
1:45 in the morning.
I'm not lying to you. I order stuff then.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if there's an insomnia. Like, because I see them, I kind of flip through them with the timestamps. I'm like, what are these people doing? Like,
I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're shopping online. So what we're talking about is having your e-commerce store that we allow you to set up and sell the products. And it looks like your own beautiful boutique online attached to your website. But guess what? We ship all the products. You're not housing the products. You're not shipping them. You're just like giving us your bank account. We're putting money in it. But you're also marketing it.
And that's why you better
reach out to me, people, because I am the queen of this.
You want to be talking to your clients. You want to let them know that you have it. And
we know you like to shop at different times. And if you're not shopping here today, I want to remind you we have our online boutique.
Absolutely. Which is why I think the product recommendation cards, the text messages that you
can send.
The text message marketing that it has. There's so many interesting functional ways to market to your customers. And
I have one before we end this
too. Okay, so.
No, but go with the finish this.
I'm still a firm believer that when the times are great, this is when salons have to double down on working their marketing skills. Mm-hmm. So if you're really, truly as busy as you are, everyone is telling me that they are, my recommendation is to raise the prices, the salon owner to take more time away from the chair.
And market your business.
And utilizing the digital platforms is a really, really great way of maximizing it and getting people, because now you have a 24-hour store. You're literally doing business 24 hours.
You have 24-hour store, but if you don't market it, people don't know about it. Your 24-hour store essentially has a closed sign.
Yep.
But if you guys email lisab@evolvesalonsystems.com, I will point you in the right direction of a sales consultant. And if you don't have one in your area for some reason, I'll help you set it up. You've got to get these e-commerce stores. But I want to ask you a question. When you go to Chipotle, do you have a rewards program? Do you get free stuff? What do you get? Do you get like points?
Yes, it's points.
Do you get so excited when you redeem them?
You know what? I get.
Don't lie to me.
Do I get excited?
When you get a price off.
Sure. It just, I spend so much there
that
I get one almost every time I go. I'm always getting.
You're getting something free. You're like, I just got something free.
I'm always getting a side of guac or getting chips free or something.
So like I read this statistic that 77% of people will talk about a business if there's a rewards program more than if they love their hair.
Oh, interesting.
So within our software, I just found out there is a rewards program. You set the parameters. So for example, if you're like, I want to reward people that give us referrals, they're going to get 10 points. Every time you buy retail, you get 20 points and then you can redeem the points. But you guys, it's built right into our software. And if I can encourage you to do one thing during this busy time is to get your loyalty rewards program, because this will keep people coming back and talking about your business.
The thing, it was interesting. I was with a salon owner yesterday and she had asked me about the reward program. And she's like, I know you don't like them.
And you don't.
Now I'm going to expound on them. And what I tried to explain is I said, I like them when we're getting people to do things.
Right.
I don't like it if all we're doing is giving 10% back.
No, you got, right.
So a loyalty program in Domino's and Chipotle are probably the two best known companies that their business has skyrocketed because of their digital reward programs that they do. But if you notice what each one of them does is they get you to do something you normally don't do. So I don't necessarily always want to reward big dollars for someone just coming in to get a hair color.
No.
Refer me a customer and all of a sudden
I will reward your butt.
Yeah.
Buy retail from me, I will give you points.
Exactly. And that's,
so you set the parameters.
And that's why I'm glad you said set the parameters, but I also, there are a lot of people that have listened to me for a long time over the years and I might have not explained myself as well as I should have. I like reward programs that you get people to do things they normally don't do.
Like if your referral program runs completely through points, think about it, you're not giving out those cards and like, when I get this card back, you're not getting the card back. Like sometimes that works. I'm not saying it doesn't. I think there are some nice programs like
before
that.
Before digital,
that
was the only way you could do it.
But now that having digital, this group, if I know I'm going to get points that could lead me to like a shampoo, like I will shout it to the world. Like, it's so silly, but I will. Like, I gain excitement when I get a free coffee at Starbucks. Like, I'm like, oh my God, look what I did. Like, did I spend like $100 to get it? Probably. But I get so excited. So do you get excited
like when like confetti comes out of your phone?
I am like
the gamification.
When I'm like, holy shit, I am getting a free coffee right now. My world. And then they do double points days. Can you imagine?
God, like, you just must be out of your mind.
I'm like, it's Wednesday. I gotta go, people. I'm not working today, Craig. I'm going to Starbucks.
So
you can do fun things, but then it falls in line with your text message marketing.
Yes.
Send this message out and you are going to earn 50 points. And like it's crazy. And you set the parameters. So it doesn't with what they, the reward is.
What the reward is. And that's when I know a salon that we do business with for a long time in Boston had a really, really good reward program.
Yeah.
And it was all based around, they got more points for referrals. They got more points for pre-booking appointments.
Yeah.
They got,
and I would go bananas over retail and referrals.
It wasn't just... too often salon owners with reward programs were basically like,
for every cut,
for every 10 you get one free.
Yeah,
it's like, no, that's not what you want to do with these programs. You want to utilize these programs to leverage people to do things they normally do.
Because now you're taking away the for every new client I'm going to give you $20 and give them $20 or and all this whole thing. You're just now saying, I'm going to, if you recommend us and they come in, you're getting a bonkers amount of points.
Yep.
To, you know, maybe it's a free treatment.
And then it's the big question.
It's a game, and people love games.
What is a point equal in reference mm-hmm. to a dollar? And
you set all that up.
You can set all of it up. Oh, you can set it, because if you set a point equals a dollar, then guess what? You just give less points.
Right.
If you want the gamification and you want them to have
200 points.
Like the airline miles. Remember,
yes.
like 5 million airline miles yeah. equaled like a free bag.
Right. I'm like, I will travel.
But so it just depends. All it is it's just like pricing. Mm-hmm. It becomes a strategy. So right. do you want to have a point equal a dollar? If that's the case, then you're just giving less points. If you want to have a point equal 5 cents, then you give a lot more points.
Right.
So each salon really should, because every salon's going to say to us now, well, how should we do it? And I'm saying it now.
Right.
It's the same as pricing. However you want to do it.
Right.
It's how you want to be positioned in the marketplace.
I'd give away products, because now you're giving away a $20 product that costs you $10.
Another great way.
So I would say when you get 100 points, you're getting a shampoo and conditioner. Yeah,
exactly. Because that's essentially what Domino's and Chipotle does. Chipotle knows that, guac is
$2 add-on or something.
It's $2. So they know they have X amount of cost in it. So they basically right. say, once you have spent $100 with us, you get a free guac.
Right.
And they figured it out that way. So I think the more, I think you should have fun with it.
Like a free manicure, a free pedicure. Like, you can have so much sure. fun with these things. And
the great thing about it, because it's digital,
it's
because
all digital.
You can change it all the time.
Yeah, you can go in and change it. You just set it. And we're going to be going over it on our webinar, which if you're listening to this before September 20th, then click the link in our bio. And we're going to be going all over this. But guys, if you haven't done this, you have support through our salon software. And they can help walk you through this and get everything set up. So you have a dedicated account manager that can walk you through this. So
I think that the loyalty program is awesome. It's easy to use with the technology. And now what's happening...
And it's easy.
And it's super easy.
It tracks itself.
And it's proven to work for other businesses. So if we look at success and we model success, Chipotle and Domino's have mastered this. So have fun with it and use it as a marketing strategy.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. We hope you loved it as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. If you did, please take a screenshot of this episode and share it on your social channels. Share this podcast with your industry friends. And don't forget to leave us a review. If you have ideas for upcoming episodes that you'd like us to cover, or if you would like to be a guest on our podcast, email us at socialmedia.com.
at evolvesalonsystems.com. We look forward to hearing from you, and we love bringing you great content for our incredible industry.